Hope is defined as a feeling of expectation or a desire for a certain thing or things to happen. It's a feeling of trust. Let us open in prayer. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For we pray it in your name. Amen. We don't have to go too far to find proof that our friends and neighbors need hope. People are drugging themselves, drinking too much, working too much, worrying too much, spiraling into depression, killing themselves, having abortions, and wanting to be euthanized, all because they cannot face the reality of this present life. In short, your family and friends need some hope. And maybe you do too. People don't give up in despair because of a lack of faith. They give up because of a lack of hope. As Christians, we have something that the world cannot buy or borrow or steal, and that is hope. And we have a threefold type of hope: a living hope, an inherited hope, and a sure hope. The sermon reading for today is found in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. It's on page 1200 in your pew Bibles if you'd like to follow along. It starts out, "Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy we have been born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and to an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." As Christians, we have a hope that no one can take away. So let's explore this threefold hope this morning. First, we have a living hope. We need to recognize where our hope comes from. It doesn't come from how much money we have. It doesn't come from the size of the house that you have. It doesn't come from the type of car that you drive and how fancy it may be. Peter said here, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." The subject of Peter's praise is God, reminding us that God is the source of our hope. This tells us that our hope does not change, because God doesn't change. He can't. Hebrews 13:11 tells us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Peter also tells us how God gives us this hope. By his great mercy, he says, we have been born anew. God gives us hope through salvation. In other words, being born again. This he gives through his abundant mercy. We find God's mercy always at the center of any discussion of salvation. Only God's mercy would allow him to have compassion on a sinful and rebellious people like us. Salvation is given to us because of God's boundless mercy alone. Because of God's abundant mercy, we receive a salvation to a living hope, he says. A living hope means that it is not a dead, lifeless hope. It's not the kind of hope that we use to stir positive thinking for the moment, but does nothing for us beyond the grave. It's not the kind of hope that gives us meaning and motivation for life, but is dead and lifeless beyond the grave. A living hope means that it is not a probable hope. It's not the kind of hope that may or may not come to pass. The hope that God gives is a living hope, a hope that is real, a hope that is true, a hope that actually exists. Peter tells us who we get this living hope from. Of course, we get it from God. And how he gives it to us? being born anew, being born again. And what kind of a hope? It's a living hope. And now he tells us what it does for us. He says, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Well, what does that do for us? It gives us hope to eternal life. God has proven that he has the power to raise the dead. Only God can do that. His power to raise the dead and to keep them from ever dying again is now proven beyond all question. It is proven by the fact that he raised Jesus Christ from the dead and exalted him into heaven again to never die. Because God raised Jesus up from the dead, then we can have confidence that he will raise us up also. Hope motivates us to keep on moving, not giving up. Without hope, we don't want to do anything. I don't know about you, but I don't. I'm reminded of the old Peanuts cartoon. You remember Peanuts, Charlie Brown and his gang, and Linus and Lucy. Lucy was kind of the crabby one. Linus was her little brother. And in this cartoon, they're sitting in front of the television, sat out there in the front room, and Lucy says to Linus, "Go get me a glass of water." And Linus kind of looks surprised, and he says, "Well, why should I do anything for you? You never do anything for me." Well, Lucy promised, she says, "Well, I'll tell you. On your 75th birthday, I'll bake you a cake." So Linus got up and he headed toward the kitchen and said, "Boy, isn't it life more important and more pleasant when you have something to look forward to?" It is something that feels good when we have something to look forward to. We have a living hope because we have a living Savior. We have a living hope because Jesus is no longer in the grave. We have a living hope because Jesus has won the victory for us. We have a hope that is alive, it is active, and it is eternal. The risen Jesus is our hope. The second type of hope we have is an inherited hope. Peter told us there that our hope is an inheritance. The word inheritance is also used in the Old Testament to describe the inheritance which the Jews were looking forward to in the Promised Land. An inheritance was the gift of a good father to his children. This was God's pledge to care for his people and to provide for them security. Peter then defines this inheritance in a very clear and present way. First, he says it's incorruptible. That word means that it cannot perish. It does not age. It does not deteriorate. It will never die. It does not have the seed of corruption within it. This word shows the permanence of our inheritance. Of all the treasures in this earth, none of them is indestructible. Eventually, everything will rust and corrode. But not so with our heavenly inheritance. It will never rust or corrode or break down. Peter also tells us that our inheritance is undefiled. And that word means unstained or pure. It means that our inheritance will be without any type of flaw or defect. It will be perfectly free from sickness, from disease, from infections, accidents, pollution, dirt, from any defilement whatever or whatsoever. Our inheritance does not now, nor will it ever have, a flaw in it. Peter says that our inheritance will not fade away. It'll last forever and ever. The splendor and beauty of it all, of life and of all the possessions and positions which God shall give us, none of the splendor and beauty shall ever fade or diminish whatsoever. It'll be as radiant and valuable a billion years from now as it is today. Now, all of this is wonderful, but the best part of it is that it's reserved in heaven for you. When we make reservations at a restaurant, for example, they reserve a table. They set it aside. They sometimes put a little placard on there that says reserved. Maybe your name's on it. They reserve it for you so that no one else can have it. Our inheritance is in heaven. It is reserved there for us. It's actually being held there by God for us. God is simply waiting to have us finish out our tasks here in life and then come to Him. Speaking of inheritances, this is a true story, by the way. On January 29th, 2003, Athena Rossell became the richest teenager on this planet. She inherited a fortune estimated at that time to be between $800 million and $1 billion. That doesn't have much change in my pocket. It all came from her grandfather. You probably remember him, Greek shipping tycoon Aristotle Onassis, and then through her mother. In 1988, when Athena was 3 years old, her mother, Christina Onassis, died at age 37 of a heart attack from taking too many diet medications. And all of Christina's assets were left in trust for her only child, Athena, who turned 18 in 2003 and was then legally able to receive her inheritance. That's quite an inheritance. But she had to wait. In this case, she had to wait 15 years. We don't have to wait for our inheritance, because Jesus said that He came to bring us life more abundantly. When and if this girl's money is long gone, either by her own hand or through her beneficiaries, our inheritance will still be there. By the way, our inheritance is worth much, much more. Our inheritance will never rust. It will never spoil. It will never fade. Our inheritance can never run out, be stolen, or even lost. Our inheritance is based on God's promises, which never fail. And lastly, we have a sure hope. It is kept by the power of God. In verse 5, Peter gives us a great promise. He says, "Who are kept by the power of God." God's power protects us. The word "kept" is kind of a military term, meaning to guard or protect. Therefore, it has the idea of might and strength. The might and strength of God's power protects us throughout life and our whole life's journey, through all of the trials, tribulations, and temptations of this life. Perhaps a good illustration of this, and I can't see it real well, but I hope that you can, an illustration of how this truth can affect us. It's found in the sinking of this ship. It was named the Empress of Ireland. In 1914, it was rammed broadside by another ship while in heavy fog. It sank in 17 minutes. In all, out of the 1,477 passengers and crew, 1,012 died. As the ship began to sink in the cold Atlantic Ocean, it was discovered that there were not enough life jackets on board for all the passengers. And on that ship, there was 170 Salvation Army officers. They were going to a conference in London. 162 of them drowned. And not one of their bodies that had been picked up had a life jacket on it. The few survivors told how the Salvation Army Christians took off their own life jackets and strapped them upon even the strongest men, saying, "I can die better than you." They had a bright hope for tomorrow. So I think from the deck of that ship, it was demonstrated what it means to live with this revelation in our hearts. We have the hope for for a bright tomorrow. We have a sure hope, a hope that will not fail us, a hope that will never abandon us, a hope that will not escape us. We have a sure hope that no one can take from us and no one can separate us from. A great passage out of Romans chapter 8, verses 38 through 39, Paul writes, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height or depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Friends, as long as we remain in Christ, we have a hope, a sure hope, that will never leave us. As Christians, we have what unbelievers cannot own, and that's hope. A hope that is alive, a hope that's an inheritance, and a hope that is sure. Are you living in hope today? I pray that you are. Let us all live our lives as people of hope. Amen. Ask the ushers to come forward.